Our scripture today is from the book of Romans. You can find that in the New Testament. It is Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 5. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment, in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not have all the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I wonder if you join me for a word of prayer. Lord, I pray for the words that have been prepared, for the words that I'll say that you'll offer to me at this time, for the words that people will hear. Most importantly, I pray that you would speak to them, and that all who give their time to this moment might hear a message from you that would be a blessing to their lives. Amen. So we're in the sermon series, and it's called This Summer, and we've been trying to help you think about how to improve your spiritual life, your walk with Christ over the summer, which I think is an unusual summer in that more than ever we want to travel, more than ever we want to see our friends, more than ever we just want to relax a little bit because it's been quite a year plus. And so today we're going to talk about this summer, unplugged from the world. Now, to do that, I want to introduce you to three of my friends. Now, this is one of them, and this laptop is really revolutionary in my life, probably in yours too, and I'm going to talk about why in just a moment, but this is an amazing piece of technology that has really shaped the past several years of my life. This is a tablet, so convenient, so light, take it anywhere, it's just so portable, has the capacity to retain so much information and so many things you can do with it, and then this is a phone, and my goodness, who among us doesn't find this to be an indispensable piece of technology that we carry with us every single day? That's what I want you to think about. Now, here's the thing about all that technology. In a relatively short period of time, not even my entire lifetime, I mean, these devices are only in really pretty recent years. We have this mobile technology that has radically changed how we use our time and how we make our decisions. It's done so many good things for us. It really has. There's little that you and I do without consulting one of these three friends. We choose our restaurants. We choose hotels. We choose our clothing based on reviews of total strangers that we've learned to trust just depending on the kind of reviews they write and the stars they give. We don't know how to get anywhere except if we put the GPS into our phone and off we go, and then we feel confident that we can go anywhere. I can do work in any setting. I can ruin a vacation with a laptop. I can bring a mobile device like this tablet and enjoy my vacation a little bit more because of a book I might want to read. We can be anywhere at any time because of that. If I allowed, my phone would set up a series of dings that would notify me every time it thought I was interested in something. It can do this so well that walking down an aisle in a store, it can tell me what to buy and what I should pay attention to. All of these devices connect us to social media, where we experience the highs of likes and shares and the lows of disagreement about somebody's latest post. Now, I want you to think about how this technology has changed our lives, because technology has always changed Christian lives. In Jesus and Paul's day, the technology were Roman roads. Roman roads were really thoughtfully created. I don't know if you've ever seen an illustration of how a Roman road is made, but there was a science to it, and that's why some of those Roman roads are still in use today. But those roads connected the world in a way that it had never been connected. And with secure harbors that Rome built, along with the roads, trade and commerce and travel and exposure to the world totally changed. It was absolutely revolutionary. And that technology changed how the gospel was shared. It gave Paul the ability to spread the news about Christ all over the Roman Empire. It was just a remarkable thing. Our world has changed by these devices and by this technology and everything that's behind what drives a phone or a tablet or a computer. And as a result, these things have become a part of our brains. They've become an extension of who we are, like an extra appendage. Technology drives our consumption. It shows us our wants, our desires, our impulses, but it does it in such a way that we are often left wanting more and feeling less satisfaction with what we have than if we would have never heard what the technology was trying to tell us. Technology is also ultimately very helpful and beneficial. But here's the truth about every type of technology that every world has ever experienced. It can either be a tool or it can be a tyrant. It can change our way and our life in positive ways, or it can have a dramatic downside. It can break us down just as fast as it builds up our connections in our community. And that's the challenge. If technology is to amplify our values, amplify our principles, and amplify the love that we share for God and neighbor, we have to consider, when do we pick it up and when do we put it down? We have to ask ourselves, how am I going to use this technology? That becomes really important. When the Apostle Paul was traveling through the known Western world sharing the good news of Christ, he ran into all sorts of problems he wouldn't have countered if those roads wouldn't have been built. Not just with society as a whole, but how Christians were living in the modern world. And so many of his letters address particular issues that have arisen because of the way Rome has developed the world and the options that people had. In our modern time, we have to do the same thing. Now, Paul won't tell us much about how to use a cell phone, but we can observe that he had to think that through in his time, and we have to think it through in ours. In Paul's letter to the Romans, he speaks of the push and pull that these opportunities bring to us. And he writes this to the Romans. He says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice that is holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." Listen to this next line. "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, God's good, pleasing, and perfect will." Paul was speaking to the Roman church as the Roman Empire was nearing the height of its power. In terms of economic power and military might, Rome was on a sustained upswing. It had more and more territory, more and more control, and more wealth as a result. Roman culture, beliefs, and systems of government spread throughout the known world. Rome's transportation system was built in such a way that Rome itself was actually the center. It was the hub out of which everything else happened. In the early church, there was likely every type of person imaginable that lived in that world because they were able to travel. They were able to go to Jerusalem at Pentecost. Paul was able to meet them in Rome and in the other major cities where he did his work. These people accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and then they took the gospel back where they were from, and they shared the gospel when they got home. I mean, it was kind of powerful to think about how that road technology and the technology that went into their harbors and ports spread the gospel the way it did. These were men and women, poor and rich, young and old, enslaved persons and enslavers, aristocracy and people of little means, all coming together in the power of the good news, trying to figure out how to reconcile the ways of the world in which they live, the ways of Rome, the ways of their own cultures and their own customs, with the new way of Jesus Christ after they accepted him as their Savior and as their Lord. This was the work they had to do. That's why Paul says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. He's trying to help them think through all the issues in their society. From the onset, the teachings of Christ have been counter to the standard operating procedures of the world. And that was true in Paul's time as Christianity emerged, and it's true in our time. Jesus calls us to a counter-cultural, God-centered life. And that's a way of looking at the world. That's a way of thinking about the world. It's a way of questioning what's going on around us and asking, is that how I want to live? Is that who I want to be? Rather than simply falling in step with the majority. This has always led Christians to question the norms of every society in which they have lived. As we think about this summer, I want to suggest that you take some time to just unplug a little bit. Unplug just as much as you can. And I want to give you three questions as you unplug. Okay, three questions. So, as you think about your computer, as you think about your tablet, as you think about your phone, here's a question that I'd like you to consider. Does my technology embody Christ? Does my use of technology, not my technology, but my use of technology, embody Christ? Here I use the word embody to describe how quickly we've adapted to a more technological life. And it may be helpful to share what that means. As one author suggests, to embody means to be changed by something at the very core of our being. It means to embody Scripture, for example. It would mean that we would live by the Scripture. We would do what it says. We would follow it. We would want to have other people, when they read the Scripture, think about how we behave and the things that we do and don't do. We would want to become what it commends, and we want to reject what it condemns. Now, think about that as you think about the use of any of these devices. So recently I was on social media, and I was on Facebook actually, and I noticed over in the little video section there was a red tag that was down there. I thought, oh, it's trying to tell me I need to look at this. So I clicked it. And when I clicked it, a video popped up. The video was of a young woman who is in the back of a taxi, and there was a scrolling text on the bottom, and it said, she's about to do something really inappropriate. And she was supposed to be in a Lyft or an Uber, and it had to do with her clothing, and I'm happy to tell you that I left that video before I saw whatever inappropriate thing she was doing. But it was interesting because it was made to look like it was spontaneous. It was made to look like it was a driver's camera maybe that they had gotten this off of. But I'll tell you, over the pandemic and even prior to that, as I've done curriculum for small groups and things, I just have developed a little bit of an eye. I'm no expert, but a little bit of an eye to know if something looks that clean and efficient, it's not spontaneous. Cameras don't work that way in moving cars, and they don't get that clean of a resolution. And I just realized somebody made all that up. Now, I asked a friend of mine who has a lot of experience in technology, and what he said is, oh, Tom, that's called clickbait. They were hoping you would stay on and watch the whole video, because if you finish their video, it's going to go to an ad, and if you watch the ad, then they get revenue from that. Now, again, I don't know how that video ended, but here's what I do know. I didn't want to conform to the world it was offering to me. And what I'm saying is, in your social media and in mine, in your use of your laptop and in my use of mine, we've got to make some decisions about whether we embody the rule of love of Christ. Are we doing it in a way that really matters? Because when we give ourselves over to Jesus Christ, we give over our hearts and our minds, and we open ourselves to the possibility of a spiritual depth that has the ability to perceive superficiality. It has the ability to know very quickly the difference between what's leading to righteousness and what's leading away from righteousness. Our faith becomes embodied in our words, our actions, and our relationships. When we say that we're disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world, we don't just mean part of our lives. We actually mean all of it. And I don't know about you, but I have talked to a lot of people who got into a lot of bad stuff that started with the misuse of this, the misuse of this, or the misuse of this. Now, are these devices bad? Absolutely not. I mean, what would the last year have been without education on the laptop for a student? What would it have been like without a worship service on a laptop? What would it have been without the ability to Zoom our friends, our relatives, our coworkers, have meetings? I mean, the technology is really important. You are not hearing an anti-technology sermon. What I'm suggesting is maybe we've been using it so intently over the last year. If you can just unplug a little this summer, I'm not saying to toss them all aside or no longer carry a phone. That's not what I said. I'm saying find a way to unplug. And then when you step in a little bit closer to it, ask yourself that question: does my use of technology embody Christ? Now, here's a second question that you might consider. How much time is given in your life and in mine on a device? You know, my phone gives me a notification once a week. It tells me whether my screen usage is up or down. And I'm embarrassed to tell you, but you know, confession's good for the soul. The past 2 weeks, it's told me my screen time is up. And you know, I've been asking myself since I got that notification 2 weeks in a row, because I actually, the second week, I was surprised by that. I've been asking myself, what's going on? Because usually when my screen time goes up, I'm not doing a lot of other things. I'm spending less time with my wife. I'm spending less time with communication with our children. And I'm spending less time in a lot of areas. So what does it mean when you give time on a device? Now, I just said I spend less time with my children. The truth is, our children live in other places, so often the only way that we get to spend time with them is on a Zoom call. But I knew in the last week I hadn't done a significant amount of that. So the question about how much time is really important. And it, again, it's not lost on me that your church is using technology right now. I'm not saying it's all bad. I am saying that we have to just think about how's it being used and why are we using it. If your child's in school, by all means, they should be on a laptop when they're not in the building. If you're not coming to the church, we have a 10 o'clock worship service right now that would be great to see you in. But I'm glad you're doing this on your computer at home or whatever device you're using it. But we also know in our personal lives how this gets in the way. So Paul said to the Romans again, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is. That's the piece I want you to get after. Test and approve. So don't create a false argument by saying, well, Tom, I'm on worship. Should I not do that? No, of course, that's not what I'm saying. What I am saying is in general, when I'm picking up my devices, I'm trying this week to just unplug a little bit by saying, how does this test out? Does God approve of this use of time? You know, it's probably won't shock you to hear that the average person right now in America is spending 3 hours and 45 minutes a day on their phones. Now, we use our phones for a lot of different things, but that's a pretty high number. During that same time, think about the exercise we could be doing. Now, maybe you've got an app on your phone that's helping you do exercise. If so, that's great. But much of that 3 hours and 45 minutes is probably not exercise. We could go for a walk or a hike. We could share time with friends over a long meal and a longer conversation. We could pursue a hobby or learn a new skill. We could read a book. We could pursue our spiritual life, or we could take a nap in a hammock, which is also a spiritual thing to do. But we've got to unplug a little bit. Third question. How would this decision about my device change this moment? So I think I've told you before about a friend of mine. And like me, and probably like you, he can sometimes get distracted with his phone. And so if he is at a meal with his wife and they're across the table from each other and suddenly he feels a phone and he pulls it out and he looks at it, she just has a thing that she says to him every time. She looks at him and says, "Who's more important than me right now? Who's more important than me right now?" Now, here's my question again. How would this decision about my device change this moment? And if you're like me, you've missed some moments. You've missed some conversation. In fact, when other people were talking, if you're like me, sometimes I think I'm multitasking, but the truth is, I'm just not listening very well. And that changes the moment, and that changes the relationship. And I think if I want to be conformed to the will of God, the Lord would have me love the person who I'm with, listen to the person I'm with, and think about how the decision about my device changes every moment. You know, we were, our pastors in your church, we were on a retreat one time, and we were doing some planning, and so we wanted to be collaborative and talk together. But we're all pretty guilty of being people that are very connected to a phone. And so one person grabbed a basket, and before we started our session together, they placed the basket at the center of the table, and they said, "Hey, everybody, phone's in the basket. Phone's in the basket." And one by one, everybody laid their phone in the basket, and phone by phone by phone. I was amazed how focused I became on what we were actually discussing. I was just amazed how the joy of the conversation went up, the creativity went up, just the energy went up, because no one was ever doing that sneaky, you know how you sneak a peek at your phone, you know, and you think nobody can see you sneaking a peek, but we all know you're sneaking that peek, right? And we're inwardly sort of going, "Well, he must have something. Well, she must have something else." But there's also a part of us that's saying, "Why'd you have to do that right now?" So when the basket got out, and everybody put their phone in the basket, it shifted that dynamic. What if there was a basket on your dinner table, and whenever you sat down to eat with a friend or a member of your family, you just said, "Hey, this is the phone basket. Drop them in there." Again, it's not that these devices are bad. It's that they can be tools or they can be tyrants. And in my experience, when they become tyrants, they begin to control me. They begin to take my attention. They begin to demand that I look at what they say is important, and they want to notify me about and tell me about. I think that this technology is incredibly important. I'm not going to give up my computer. I'm not going to give up my tablet. I'm not going to give up my phone. And if I'm not going to give them up, as a Christian, what I have to do is figure out, how can I unplug long enough to evaluate how this is affecting my life and my spiritual life? Because I think when you read Paul and he says, "Do not conform to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and then you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is." I think that gives us great latitude to use the most current things the same way Paul used those roads, but also to ask, is this bringing me closer to God and closer to others, or is it taking me further away, and is it making me deeply discontent and anxious? Well, friends, transformation, love, and mutuality in relationships, they all require our time and our energy. So partnering with Christ can get us into the space of the good use. Take time to unplug this summer. Give yourself a gift. Unplug this summer and consider these three questions and see what happens as a result. God bless you.